The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 7. We're going to read from verse 36 to 50. And it's on page 1036 of the church Bibles. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of the Lord.
Dear Father God, we thank you for your words and the story. We pray that the Holy Spirit works in our hearts so that through the story, we will know you more and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So because it's an old age, so it would be better if you keep the Bible open so you can follow the story smoothly and easier. And for parents, the kids or your kids or your children may need some help. Okay, so I'm especially talking to my wife, Holly. let's start. Okay, but before we look into the content of the story, let me ask a question to you. Okay, let's imagine, also for the kids, let's imagine you are at school and you play football and you get hurt. Okay, you get a hurt or you crash with someone and you say, oh, I'm so hurt. It's so painful. And a teacher come to you and help you to put on plaster on it. How would that make you feel? Okay, thank you. I think everyone would just think, oh, it's great that someone come to help me, right? Let's think about another scenario. Let's think about if you got a serious illness. You have to go to the hospital. You have to go to the A&E. And the daughter come and rescue you. And they did. How does that make you feel? You will feel grateful. Or you will feel more grateful about that. Right? Because the daughter saved your life. And why would you think or you feel more grateful when the daughter saved you over the teacher helped you? Normally, it's because how you perceive the difficulties or the dangers that you have faced. And this is the core message in this story. But we don't jump to the main message. We will go for it bit by bit, verse by verse. So let's take a look in verse 36. Let's see what happened. In verse 36, it says that now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So wait a minute. Can anyone tell me who is a Pharisee? Yes, religious leaders. They think that they know everything about the scripture. They think that they are righteous. So this is the kind of person invites Jesus to his home for dinner. So Jesus went, let's continue. Jesus went to the Pharisee house and reclined at the table. And when a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. So, what happened next? When the Pharisee invited Jesus to come to his house, who appeared? Who is not invited and appeared in the party? Yes, a sinful girl. So imagine if you are the Pharisee, would you welcome that sinful girl? No, because the Pharisee think that I'm righteous. And those are sinful women, I would not like to invite her or invite that kind of person. So what happened is a sinful woman came into the Pharisee party. It is like a man who wear Argentina jersey and come into the England supporter song. So it is like that. As an English, you would say, "Oh, why? Why you come here? I don't want to welcome you." But what we can see here is the woman, her brave and her courage. It is not easy for a person who wear Argentina jersey and come to the England support songs. And it is not easy for a sinful woman to come to the Pharisee party. We may think that there are something in the woman's heart that drive her to come to Jesus. Jesus will give her courage to do what she has done. But what next? Is it that the woman just came in the party and sit back and enjoy? What did the woman do? Can anyone point out to me how many things did the woman do? There's six things to do, okay? Yes, she washed Jesus' feet. Siwai, can you tell me what's the other thing? Yes, wet his feet with her tears, okay? With her hairs, kissed her feet, and put perfume on his feet. So in nowadays context, it's so strange, right? Why would people do that? And it is hard to understand how could people just use hair to clean people's feet or wet people's feet with their tears. And it is not common in Jesus' time too. But these actions shows that the woman has her deep reverence and love to Jesus. She is willing to humble and lower herself in order to honor and serve Jesus. And therefore, let's take a look in verse 39. Okay, we know that, okay, we have gone through that. The Pharisee doesn't feel happy about it. Okay, there is another team member, come to my team or come to this party. And let's see how the Pharisee reacts. In verse 39, it says, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself. He didn't say to Jesus, he said to himself. So he is thinking in his mind. He said, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Interestingly, he is not focused on the woman. His focus is on Jesus. He said that if Jesus is a true prophet, he should distance himself from a sinner. As a righteous person, he should not touch or be in touch by a sinner. Otherwise, he will become sinful too. Obviously, his concept is wrong. He has a wrong concept about who Jesus is and what he should come and do. And let's see what's happened next. This is the amazing part in this story. And it say, after the Pharisees say, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. And verse 40, Jesus answered him. So before, we didn't see the Pharisee ask any questions. He just said to himself, he's just thinking in his mind. But Jesus know how that person feel, know what the Pharisee are thinking. And Jesus answered him, even he didn't ask. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to tell you. So in this part, we can see Jesus want to teach Simon, who is the Pharisee. And he gave a short parable, a very short story. And let us go through the story together. It starts at verse 41. It says that there are two men owed the money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii. So one denarii is around like one day wage, okay, in nowadays. Okay, so it's like 1.5 year wages, okay? And the other 50 is just 1.5 month of the wages. And neither of them had the money to pay him back. So both of them have no money. And so he canceled the debt of both. So both debtors go free. And Jesus asked, now, which of them will love him more? So it's a very short and simple story. But let's pay attention to what Jesus asked Simon. Jesus asked Simon, which of them will love him more? Jesus didn't ask about how do you feel about the money lender, or how do you think is it fair for him to make those decisions? No, he asked about his focus is about the debtors. He asked Simon, now which of them will love him more? How do the people feel when their debts are forgiven? Now, before we read on, let's do some voting. Who think that the 500 daring person will love him more, raise your hand. Okay. Who think that the 51 will love him more, raise your hand. No? Okay. Yeah, so, and let's take a look. What did the Pharisee say? So, verse 43. Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. That means the one with 500 darin. And Jesus said, you have judged correctly. So Jesus said, he's right. The Pharisees judge it correctly. It's the one who have 500 debts are being forgiven will love him more. Okay, will love the moneylender more. And let's take a look what next. Jesus didn't stop there. Verse 44, Jesus immediately applied the parable into the situations. It said in verse 44, then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Jesus is comparing how the Pharisee and the woman treat him differently. But what is the reason for them to treat Jesus differently? We may have lots of thoughts about that. But Jesus gave the answer in verse 47. He said, "Therefore, I tell you, her many sins has been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." So what is the main reason for the different level of hospitality between the Pharisee and the woman? It is their view of their sins differently. Greater the sins have been forgiven, more love showed. Little sins lead to forgiven little and love little. And just as the great debtor will respond to mercy with great love, so the greater sinner, in this case, the woman, responds to Jesus' message of grace with greater love than Simon showed. The woman knew that she is a great sinner. Therefore, when she received grace and mercy from Jesus, she responded very differently from Simon, which Simon, who has little awareness of his own sinfulness. As a result, he was not overwhelmed by the prospect of having his debt is forgiven. He loved Jesus little because he believed he had been forgiven little. To love Jesus more, we need a deeper awareness of our sin and how much we have been forgiven. The sinful woman loved Jesus deeply and showed it in her action because she recognized her death of her own sin. Love for Jesus grew out of gratitude, and gratitude comes from recognizing our great need and our inability to save ourselves. Let's pause a little bit and think. What would you do when you want to enjoy Jesus more? Sometimes we may think that in order to love Jesus more means doing more, pray more, read the Bible more, or serve the church more. Truly, these spiritual disciplines are important, but they are not the foundations of our love for Jesus. This story teaches that our love for Jesus grows as we become more aware of our sinfulness and God's amazing grace. Here's an example. We may all agree that Apostle Paul, who loved Jesus very much after his conversions. And this is what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." The way he aware his sinfulness and grace from God lead him love Jesus more. I want to share a little bit, like in my Hong Kong culture, I'm not very sure about the British, but when I grow up in the Hong Kong culture, I was taught and I was always have an opportunity to ask me to compare myself with other people. How do I know I'm capable by knowing that someone is less capable than me? How do I know I'm having a good academic result if there are someone who got lower marks than me? So I always compare myself with other people. And sometimes, this is my experience, sometimes I may compare my sinfulness with other people. I would think that, oh, like that person who called for the war, who killed people, they're more sinful than me. And I think when I'm preparing this sermon, when I read this passage, it's a great reminder to myself. How could I judge? Or how could I say I am less sinful than that person? It is not right, and it is not helpful at all. Because if or when I realize how sinful I am and how great Jesus His grace is and His mercy is, it led me to love Jesus more. So I'm still learning not to comparing myself with others, but it is a good sharing with you guys. Like, it's a reflection. In this story, Jesus is not teaching us to comparing the woman's sins with the Pharisee. It is how we reflect our own sinfulness and how great God's love is, and that led us to love Jesus more. So the more I understand God's love and mercy, the cause of my forgiveness, which is Jesus died on the cross, the more I love Him. God's forgiveness is entirely undeserved. We cannot earn or deserve His grace. A heart that truly understands God's mercy will naturally respond with love, mercy, love, worship, and grateful devotions. And this is not the end of the story. The best is yet to come. Lastly, after Jesus explained it to Simon, He turned to the woman and speak to her. Let's take a look in verse 48 to 50. Then Jesus said to her, which is the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith have saved you. Go in peace." Jesus told the woman that her gifts are forgiven. Is it because she loved Jesus more than Simon did? Is it because she rubbed His feet with her tears, hairs, and she kissed His feet and poured perfume on them? No. Jesus said in verse 50, "Your faith have saved you. Go in peace." It is by faith in Jesus Christ that her sins are forgiven. Same for us today. We are not saved because we serve the church more than other people, or we pray more, or we read the Bible more than other people. It is solely by faith in Jesus Christ. But our faith leads to actions. It will change our hearts and lead us respond to Jesus' love. The more we are aware of our sins, the more we understand the grace and mercy that Jesus has shown us. And as we grow in understanding His forgiveness, our love for Him will grow. And that love will be seen in the way we live. Lastly, I would like to share some content of the book that I'm reading. I haven't finished it. I just started the first chapter. So I think God is helping me in preparing my sermon or my teaching today. So this is in the first chapter by Tim Chester, Enjoying God. And this is what he said in the first chapter here. He said that our actions, which, for example, pray, reading the Bible, serving church, don't make us Christians or make us more of a Christians or keep us as a Christians. For our union with God is all His work. That means for our relationship, how we can redeemed or we can call righteous in His eyes is because of God's work. But our actions do make differences to our enjoyment of God. How we can enjoy Jesus and God more does make a difference by our actions. He said that for our communion with God, our enjoyment of our union with God involves a two-way relationship. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will keep changing our hearts to know how sinful we are and how great God's mercy is, and help us to change our heart and our life accordingly. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing grace and mercy shown to us through Jesus Christ. Forgive us for the time we failed to see our own sin and forget how much you have forgiven us. Give us humble hearts that recognize our need for your grace every day. Help us to love Jesus more, not by relying on our own efforts, but by remembering the great love he has shown us through the cross. May our gratitude be seen in the way we worship, serve, and love others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.